Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, hello. Hello, Yael Shadarel. Hello. And today we'd like to talk about how to consume properly. Let's talk about balanced consumerism, something that we're not really familiar with. But we'll try and learn about a few more principles on our way to a better life. Be with us, Yael, please. Yeah, so consumerism is a central part of our life nowadays. It's obvious that we buy much more than we all need. Even during the corona, that was a time of economic uncertainty, we consumed a lot, much more than we consumed before the corona, turns out, compensating for the kind of bad times that we had. And turns out that shopping gives us many different kinds of pleasure. Now, first of all, there's great excitement. It's a kind of, you know, it's time of leisure. It's like to hang out. Also, it gives us many little moments of pleasure. Obviously, it's not lasting pleasure, but, you know, small points of pleasure, things that you also need in life. It also compensates for days that aren't that good, less happy times. It calms us down. People say that even if they look and search the internet, even if they don't buy eventually, there is something soothing about this entire process. It also, you know, on the internet, also you can't fail. You always feel that you've succeeded, even if later on you never used what you bought and you found out that you bought something really silly. The moment you purchase that thing, you feel a sense of success that you find what you wanted, and you know, it's a great feeling. This is in addition to status symbols, and you feel that you're successful if you've achieved a certain product from a certain status. And it gives us lots of different sorts of pleasure, shopping. And recently, as the internet, we buy a lot on the internet, and there is, in addition, something, there's a kind of excitement when you buy on the internet. You buy something, you get a package delivered to you. First of all, you don't know what you're going to get, so there's a kind of excitement when you open it up. Also, waiting for the package is exciting. This from talking to people, from what they've experienced, from the research that we had, the articles, etc., etc. This is what people explain about the experience of shopping. And we'd like to start with the question of, as a Kabbalist who sees things much more broadly, reality much more broadly than we do, how do you see the pleasures that a person has from these purchases? What basic need does it answer? A person is all in all the will to receive, the will to purchase, acquire, and therefore, when he doesn't feel that he has something, and especially that he has something new, then he has a kind of negative feeling. It's like we see on children. When we take kids to some shop and we see that they're running around, I want this, I want that. He doesn't really think so deeply about what he wants, but whatever he sees, he grabs as though this is what he needs, otherwise the sky will fall. And this actually tells us about the kind of desire that we have. Purchasing is something very basic that a person wants what he needs for the will to receive. And the will to receive is our basic nature, that there's nothing more important. The more we grow up, the more we mature, the more we understand what's worthwhile, what's not, what can we allow ourselves, what can't we purchase one thing or another or not. and we become more meticulous, choosy, picky, but still we remain with the same desire. This really how people describe it. They say that he feels like a child at a candy store, that you like go back to the childhood experience. Even if you're a grown-up, it brings you back to a very childish place, so to speak, a place from childhood, something warm, nice. Right, so if we want to arrange these things properly, then sure, we should work on explaining to a person and building in him according to his inner needs how to correctly relate to shopping. To write in advance, what do I need, and not more. To limit yourself that I take more than what I determine before I see the different, you know, sparkling, glamorous things in a shop. That I always look at ads or whatever that is for me to understand that this is something that they want to sell to me, and they don't take my situation into consideration, but only their pocket. What do they gain as a result of my purchase? And therefore the balance between wanting to buy and needing to buy needs to be pretty clear. And it's a problem for children, for grown-ups, you know. Advertisement is very strong. There are researches. In short, we work on it. Should there be such a strong emotion? On the basic level, should there be such a strong connection, emotional connection between shopping and our emotions, or is it a distortion? There are people that feel that if they don't buy something, then the day is lost. And is it something natural or a distortion of our times? It depends on how I allow myself, how I listen to what's said, what society am I in. It all depends on the environment. Consumerism is something very natural. Eventually, you don't grow your own vegetables, and you don't bake your own bread, and make your own clothes, but you do need to purchase, you need to buy. The question is whether the place we're in today, in terms of our excessive consumerism, is it something natural or is it a kind of distortion? How do you see the situation nowadays? I think that what is going on today is that we're simply walking with our eyes shut. We're following publicity. And we're not that aware of what we need, what we're lacking, but we're included in what they want to sell us. You know, it's artistry, it's an entire profession of not that you buy what you want, but that you buy what I want to sell you. What is healthy consumerism, a balanced kind of consumerism? Healthy and balanced consumerism is that first and foremost, a person knows what does he need for life and how to achieve it in the best possible way. What's the right thing to buy or not? I move away from all publicity. I protect myself from being under a publicity attack. And in advance, I create basket that's necessary for me, for my family, and this is what I'm concerned with. So it means that we need to, I need to restrict myself. No, no, it's not called to restrict yourself. It means not to be stingy, but to correctly save on things, because I really want to achieve things that I'm lacking, and not things that are lacking to that person who's selling whatever that is to me. Do we buy because of inner deficiency or because of publicity ads, etc.? Dr. Lightman, both. If there was no publicity, we would not have a special attitude toward shopping because it seems like it's sitting on a certain lack. Why do we feel such great pleasure when we buy, when we consume? It's a matter of habit. First of all, another thing is that I respect myself if I achieve something, if I buy something. It seems to me that I'm respected by others if I buy something special. And this is how we feel our status in society, according to what we buy. Previously talked about innovation, buying something new all the time. Why is it so important for us to have new things all the time? What does it give us? It is our general will to receive, that the more it receives, the more it enjoys, even though that it'll pass in a moment. A moment later, I have no idea what did I buy it for. But this is what our nature is demanding of us. I want to tell you about Chagit. Chagit, she really likes cooking and inviting guests. The kitchen is the center of her life, so to speak. Today, you know, they build kitchens in the center of the living room. So she really likes cooking and inviting people and hosting. And this is her real hobby. She goes in the morning to work, but her life is in the kitchen. Cooking, baking, everyone enjoys it. Everyone likes coming to Chagit's place. And in order to make things easier for her, she likes buying different gadgets, special tools, knives, things that save time and effort. There are shops that are specific for that. Her kitchen is already full of these special gadgets. And today you can buy all these things on the internet. Her husband thinks that she's exaggerating. He says that she buys lots of things for the kitchen, and he thinks that, and it's very costly, and he thinks that it's possible to get along with a bit less, and, you know, the potato won't be cut so pretty. Why are we bringing this up? Because this is consumerism. Her husband claims that she consumes in an unbalanced way. How do you find the middle line that what the one sees and what the other sees will coincide, will come to some something balanced? What could you recommend? I had a friend at work. He, every month, used to buy some kind of gadget, something, some drill, some tool, things for your home, tools for the house. It was his real hobby. And sometimes he'd buy such things that when will he ever need it? And I don't think he needed it. But he liked having at home such and such and such drills and keys and tools. Now for plumbing, for different kind of repairs. And for him, this was great pleasure. He always used to say, what kind of tools he bought that month. Well, it wasn't like today with the internet. It was 40 years ago, suppose. And back then, he was managed to buy this and buy that. The same with Chagit, only with kitchenware. At least with the kitchenware, I think that these are things that she more uses than he used his tools. And here, it's a person who was simply, he loved these things. He loved tools, work tools. So who's right, Chagit or her husband? What is the balanced line in consumerism? Maybe they should sit together and say that you have such and such, you have, suppose, I don't know, 200-300 shekels every month, or I don't know how much, but you decide on it that you can spend on kitchenware. What you think is necessary, or not only for kitchenware, it's for this for clothes, this for children. That's how you need to do it in advance. Okay, now, let's talk about Chagit emotionally, because eventually we're not talking about money, we're having here a deep emotional conversation. Chagit feels that she needs to buy it, and when she buys it, it makes her feel good. Now, Chagit is also aware of it. What does she do with the unsatisfied desires in her? She wants to buy tools for the kitchen. Why? It makes her feel good. So it limits her because she has no choice. It's a budget. You're on a budget, and you know what it means to be on a budget and how to build it properly and realize it. So here, we need to arrange it. What kind of inner compensation will Chagit have? She wanted this, and, you know, the budget's already gone. But the Minister of Economics, the Minister of Treasury, he doesn't have, you know, infinite resources. Everyone takes into consideration, works with what they have. Only kids can't do it. But actually, it's necessary to arrange what you need and what you want and what you really can afford. Does a person need to arrange these things? Of course. How are we supposed to live on Earth without knowing how much can we or can't we consume from natural resources, air, water, etc.? How do we really know? Now, let's not talk about Chagit in our kitchen, but, you know, more basic things. So you see what we came to with air pollution and natural resources and everything. It's a problem that we don't know how to stop ourselves from using our will to receive, our ego, our desire to fulfill ourselves. So we don't know how to get along. Everyone needs to sit on the study bench and see how do we learn how to correctly relate to life. We're getting a question from Tali about Chagit's kitchenware. It's not a matter of budget. Even if we buy for small sums of money, it makes us feel good. The main thing is to buy and buy. What do you do about that? How do you balance that out? There's like this engine that keeps working all the time. I once gave a series of lectures in Las Vegas. And they rented an apartment for me, and I used to pass by the first floor where you have all the games, you know, the betting games, and I saw people enjoying life, glued those machines, slot machines, etc. Right, that's how people today enjoy buying. But I tried doing it myself. I tried it myself. I asked, what are the cheapest machines here? They said, 10 cents, please. There's a special room there. There you can sit, and really, There was no one there, no one, just me. And so I played to check what that is. Then I got tired. You know, pulling the arm. Oh, how's this related to shopping? Because it's a kind of fulfillment that a person needs to receive. And afterwards, I saw that it's not the same. If I play for 10 cents, or I play for a dollar. It's something else. Meaning, it's a problem that when we buy, we can't be satisfied with something small. It needs to be something that you can feel in your hand, weigh it somehow. And therefore, but it has a certain weight, so to speak. And so I don't think that buying small things can fulfill a person. He also needs to feel the value of the purchase. How to deal with the emotional need to buy? Look, I don't have something like that, so it's hard to say. I'm trying to put myself in their shoes, but it doesn't seem to me like, I don't feel that it's important. I can not buy anything for years because I'm engaged in different things. Were we able to reach a state that we fulfill people with more exalted goals, that it is impossible to buy them with money, but with exertion, with connection, then it would have been something else. So it's a kind of emptiness, all this shopping? Yeah. It is a result of shopping. It is a result of emptiness. Suppose we're already grown-ups, it's harder. Let's turn to the young generation. If I want to teach my family or my kids or our viewers correct consumerism, no one teaches you that in school nowadays. What are the principles? What? It's necessary to think for a long period of time, if someone wants to, if someone feels that it's necessary to think a lot before I go and buy something. What do I really need? And how do I buy and enjoy, really enjoy, and not that I bring it home and I put it in some corner until it's filled with dust and I throw it away. How to fulfill yourself with greater, more exalted goals? It's according to the importance that I give it. Exalted is in terms of the importance of a thing and not that it's more expensive. Previously you said that it's possible to fill this emptiness if we'll reach a state where people will have more exalted goals that you can't buy money. So give me an example for such goals. Suppose with children's education, how do we direct them to get these things? What do I tell my child, for example? My friend, my girl at school, she sees that everyone has this and this, and she wants for us to buy her that and that too. How can I lift my daughter from shopping just a bit, raise her a bit above that? It all depends on the importance of things. Nowadays, it's not easy. No, not that it's not easy, but you need to educate in advance, teach them, work with the children in advance so that they'll know what's important in life. What's important in life? Your inner property, your inner needs. I'm not buying some washing machine and I shove it inside, or other things for the home, and I swallow them. I swallow the pleasure that I have from the purchase. So can I get that pleasure from things that I don't need to pay for? Like what? Books that I read, things that I see. There are plenty of things. So as a part of the education, it's to decrease the importance of material things and to increase the importance of the inner assets. That's great. And what should you teach your children about it? You have to show them an example. You have to give them examples. Next to me, there is a club. How do you call that game? A club?
Bridge
club. Next to where I live, there's a bridge club. And I see how they come there in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. Different people, usually they're... Usually they're already after in their 60s and on, and they don't go shopping, they don't go anywhere, they play this game and they feel that it fulfills them. Does this give them inner property assets, and what does it include? Look, games in general, sports, games, friendship, things like that, that are unrelated to purchasing a specific product, of course, they fill a person more. You said in the beginning that a person has the desire to receive, to purchase. He feels that he has something new. This inner need, will it give an answer to receiving something new? What new things can you get here? We're living off our impressions, off our sensations, off a feeling of fulfillment. If I am in an inner relationship with someone and we fill each other with conversation, we acquire the knowledge, the mind, we're fulfilled with, I don't know, maybe video clips, maybe music, maybe something. I don't need to pay for something that I need to buy and bring home, some kind of object. Unfortunately, our time's up. I have plenty of questions, but maybe we can conclude. What is correct or healthy consumerism? Healthy consumerism is that you have pity on the square meters you have in your flat and do not fill them with things that become junk and that there's no need for them. And you try every time to raise your demand to more and more essential spiritual things, to purchase them, not that you need to pay someone. It's not even about money. But you want to acquire something that's more exalted. It turns you into what? It elevates you to different levels of your demand toward life. Dr. Leitman, thank you very much. Good luck. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for being with us. Till next time. All the best.